Well, I have some good news and bad news. The bad news first. This week, the deacons are scheduled to preach, and Father John is not giving the homily. Sorry to all Father John's groupies. The good news is my homilies are a lot shorter than his. Persistence. I think we as adults can learn a lot from our children in regard to persistence. It comes to mind my grandson, Benjamin. He loves to feed the birds when he visits his grandparents. And it's like a ritual with us. When I come home from work and he is there, I'm not even out of my truck and he's standing in the driveway. We need to feed the birds, Pawpaw. I'd say something like, let me get the groceries in first, son. And then he would, 2 minutes later, the birds are hungry. We need to feed the birds. And I'm not kidding. It's every 2 minutes. The birds are hungry. We need to feed the birds, Pawpaw. Little Benjamin is nonstop and persists until I get the bird seed and feed the birds with him. And that's the way four-year-olds are. They bug you and bother you, and not in a bad way. They're just persistent. Ben has the faith that if he is determined in asking to feed the birds with me, he'll pull me away from things I think I should be doing first, and he'll get what he's asking for. And throughout the years, I've noticed something interesting. We bug and bother people, those who we are closest to, people we love, people we have a relationship with. It's only the people we are closest with that will tolerate being pushy and persistent because of the relationship between them. And that's the way it is in our first reading when Abraham and God are having a conversation. Abraham has a relationship with God. He spoke with God daily. And out of this closeness, out of their relationship, Abraham starts bugging God. He was persistent with God, trying to make sure that if there's any people in Sodom, they wouldn't be destroyed. Abraham asked God, "What if there's 50 innocent people? Will you save the city?" And this is where Abraham shows his closeness with his persistence. Then he says, what about 45, 40? He even gets down to 10 innocent people. Will you save the city if there are 10 innocent people? And God says, for the sake of the 10, I will not destroy the city. This dialogue between God and Abraham reveals so much to us about our God. He is a just God. And he's a God that longs to dialogue with us, to be part of our lives, and to be present in our lives. It's almost in that first reading, it's not all the sin and immorality that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah that was important to God. It's almost as if the real issue was no one there was receptive to God and allowed God to do the work he longs for in our lives. Nothing is more dangerous or devastating to our lives than to close ourselves from God. It means death, a kind of spiritual death. The only way we can nurture our relationship with God, no different than to cultivate a relationship with a spouse or a close friend, is through conversation, through dialogue, through sharing. And with God, we call that prayer. For those of us who are married or in a committed relationship, think for a moment. How far would our relationship go if we just spoke to the other, maybe in the morning for a few minutes, or once at bedtime? Or maybe like some of us, who perhaps only speak and be present to God only at the Sunday Mass? How would our relationship be with our spouse? Prayer is essential. Essential to grow in a relationship with God. In our gospel, we see Jesus spent time alone in prayer with the Father. He comes back and his disciples ask him, "Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to talk to God." Jesus gives them the Our Father and reveals a certain way of being in relationship with him. It's basic. We have to recognize that God is truly our Father. A father always wants what's best for his son or daughter. He very much cares for them. A true story about prayer. It's about Father Becker, one of our previous pastors, and he's deceased. He retired early because of cancer. Although he didn't die of cancer, he died of pneumonia. He waited too long to go to the doctor. He was working on St. Helen's grounds one Saturday, doing yard work, and he had a cough. And he coughed into his handkerchief and coughed up some blood. He went to Seton Hospital, and the doctor did some tests. And he heard the words no one wants to hear. "You have cancer. We need to start treatment right away." I thought how ironic that this was because of the stories of him praying over and anointing others and these miraculous healings and outcomes. After the shock of his diagnosis, he was in prayer. And he asked St. Joseph for his intercessory prayers. And then he said to St. Joseph and God that he trusted that if it was God's will, the cancer would be healed. But he asked for a specific sign that he would be healed. And the sign was that someone would hand him a lily. He was celebrating Mass after the diagnosis, and he looked over at the arrangements, and all the flowers were lilies. And I remember when he saw them, he gasped, and then he reached over and grabbed my hand. But that wasn't good enough for Father Becker, because he said the sign he needed was for someone to hand him a lily. And a few weeks after his retirement in Kyle, Father Becker had a visitor, and it was a parishioner from here at St. Helens. And her gift she brought for Father Becker was this small arrangement in a small, inexpensive glass jar, and it was full of lilies, and she handed them to him. Father Becker's cancer was in remission on the day he died. For years, when I visited him, that tiny little mason jar that was given to him years earlier was always placed in the center of the table, empty, reminding him of God, our Father. He does hear our prayers. Brothers and sisters, God always hears our prayers. And persistence in prayer is a discipline we all probably need to do a little work on. In the society where we live, with instant gratification, we can get discouraged when our prayers are not answered instantly. Sometimes we think of our prayers that they should be like a vending machine. All we have to do is drop in a few prayers like the coins, push the button, and what we want comes out. Jesus' parable of the friend in need teaches us to be persistent in prayer and having faith. And the persistent includes the aspect of radical trust in the way God answers our prayers. May this following week, may our prayer be Lord, teach us to pray with persistence.